very much,
Absolutely,
man. Appreciate
man. There you
it.
Go.
Okay, so, yeah. Good. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming on this weekly podcast. My guest this week is John. John, please help me with the last name.
You got it. Mita Perel.
Mita Perel. He is the play-by-play voice of the Boston College Eagles and WEEI in Boston, if that's correct. Also joining us is a legendary member of the Orange Bowl Boys. You know him as Toast as one third of the Orange Bowl Boys. They have a podcast on YouTube. They have a podcast and they have a YouTube channel. They're very successful at this, and they do a very good job. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on.
Pleasure, man.
John, I'll start with you. Last week we saw what happened with BC. Six sacks of Castellanos. Tackling was poor. Third downs, they were 3 for 12. And the penalties, which has been a bugaboo all year, they committed 8 penalties for 55 yards and 2 interceptions. Have people caught on to Castellanos up there?
Yeah, no, I think Castellanos is limited guys a little bit in the passing game. That's been exposed by Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh the last 2 weeks. He's certainly developing as a quarterback. He's only played 10 games since transferring from UCF. Terrific runner, that's well documented. Second in the nation behind Jaden Daniels and rushing for quarterbacks, but definitely needs more maturity as a passer. So he's a little bit one-dimensional at the moment. I love the fact that he has a lot of potential. And I think BC fans have to keep in mind that he hasn't played much football. So you guys well know you're going to be above 60% and more close to 65, 70% to be effective as a collegiate passer and any passer for that matter. So hopefully that number will increase. He's facing a tough Miami defense this week. It's not going to be easy, but you know, he's a confident kid. He came into BC thinking that he had a shot to win the job, and he did. He's replacing a pocket passer in Emmett Moorhead. So BC's definitely become more dynamic with Castellanos, but his passing needs to become more consistent. There's no question about that.
Toast, you want to ask John a question?
Well, I guess, John, so it seems like we got a couple of teams here that are streaky. You guys had the great five-game win streak earlier in the season, and now you followed up with two losses in a row. We're riding a three-game losing streak. Is this what going into the season, what were the expectations among the Boston College fan base? And is this where we thought they were going to be, or were the expectations supposed to be higher for this squad?
I think it's always with the BC fan base, a successful year is 7 or 8 wins. And, you know, it's not, the schedule was quite frankly, such, you know, set up well for them. They didn't play the Thunder this year in Clemson and North Carolina and NC State. And, you know, the home schedule was kind. They had Florida State on the ropes. They played them arguably the best that, you know, that anybody's playing this year. They lose 31-29, or what could have been. For BC, it's always about, and probably similar to Miami, you can talk to a lot of teams about this, you've got to win that first game of the year. And that didn't happen for the second straight year. And that was a disappointing loss. To their credit, they put together 5 straight. You know, they don't ask you how, guys. They ask you how many. Football 101, cliche 101. So you'll take it and you'll run. They became bowl eligible. Good for them. Patched it together with some Band-Aids, working in a quarterback they didn't know what to expect from. He's played very well, as I said. But it's just a matter of them getting over the hump, getting to that 7 or 8 win plateau. You know, that's a good expectation for the BC fan base.
Yeah, another thing when I look at the key players for Boston College outside of Castellanos, four that stand out to me. Robichaud, 683 yards rushing, second leading rusher. Their best receiver is Lewis Bond with 565 yards. And then on defense, two very, very good players in De Palma and Pupel. What can you tell us about them?
Yeah, the defense has been okay. It's been a work in progress. Jeff Hapley's a defensive coach. I think he'd tell you that they need to generate more of a pass rush. That's been a disappointment. They've had isolated spots this year where they've been better. They expected a lot out of Donovan Ezeraku, preseason All-ACC guy, and he's been up and down. He's defensive end. They lost Shita Salah with an injury. They have a guy named Neto Akpal on the other end who's, I think, going to be a very good player. They're a little shy in the secondary without Elijah Jones now. He's arguably best cornerback or one of the top three cornerbacks in the league. He is out. John Pupil's a transfer from Dartmouth. He's, you know, done the best he can. Does make a lot of tackles, but as you guys know, that's never really a good thing if your safety's making a lot of your tackles. Vinny DePalma is a great story. As a sixth-year guy, you won't find a better kid to come through BC. But, you know, that's an area where BC's going to need some work in the offseason at linebacker and in the secondary. They're going to have to address that in the portal or recruiting. We're hoping that they can, you know, improve those areas, especially when you got a team like Miami coming in this week. It's extremely athletic and can stretch you on the perimeter.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Greg, I mean, plus you know about, we know about the quarterback, Van Dyke, et cetera. Van Dyke's actually coming home to New England, by the way, Am I right on that?
Yeah. He's from Southern Connecticut. So let me ask this. Obviously, Georgia Tech, and you've obviously called every play for Boston College this year, so you know them as well as anybody. So Georgia Tech defensively threw out the playbook on us, go to a zone, and our offense just has stopped ever since that point. Before the ACC play started, we were thriving. That game shows up. They go into a zone. We can't move the ball at all, and everyone's just been showing that. So my question for you on behalf of all Miami fans, how has BC's zone been this year?
It's been okay. It's been okay. I think you'll see elements of zone, elements of man. Jeff Hafley likes to go usually, you know, he's a man guy, I think, by nature. But I think overall you'll see some mix-ups there on the defensive end. I mean, let's go to the other side of the ball. Why BC was successful in that game, why they've been successful in every game this year, guys, is controlling the clock and making sure that they have at least 35 minutes of time of possession. They're averaging close to 200 yards per game rushing. That's second in the ACC. Before last week, they were number one. And, you know, Pitt and Virginia Tech, to their credit, did a good job. And they realized if, you know, you stop BC on the ground, you got a good chance to win the game. So they want every opponent defensively wants to one-dimensionalize BC. As far as BC one-dimensionalizing the opponent on defense, you know, again, up and down, roller coaster. They had their moments against Georgia Tech. They won that game. They played really well in the second half. BC's had trouble in the second quarters and the third quarters of game. They have not played well coming out of the locker room after halftime. They've been outscored heavily in the second quarter. So, you know, it's a chess match on one hand, but I think on a lot of other hands, you know what to expect. Look, it's week 12. You guys know what to expect out of Miami. BC fans know what to expect out of the Eagles.
Yeah, we expect issues every quarter, all four of them, John.
Yes, that's been the thing of our fan base down here, as Tulsa will tell you. I mean, we should be dominating every opponent, and we're not doing it, unfortunately. And you know, they're gonna face a Miami defense that is going to be very upset and will out to redeem themselves after what happened last week against Louisville. Now, Mario Cristobal, our coach, commented on the cold weather and about BC being a tough opponent. What do you think, to me, and I'll parlay into keys of the game, how is Boston College preparing to deal with Reuben Bain, knowing how good he is?
Well, I think BC is not going to change. BC's got five really good offensive linemen. Five arguably will be in the NFL at some point. So, you know, I think it's a top three line in the league. I think then that's been evident in the way that they've been able to control the ball against some pretty good defenses. So I don't think they're not going to be afraid of anybody necessarily. They know the room is good. I spoke to Coach Apley about that today. He's very impressed with their defensive line. He's impressed with the entire team. I know for a fact that that's a concern, but I think they're just going to, it's a ground and pound, man. You mentioned Kai Robichaux. He's been really good. It's kind of the traditional BC back. They got away from that a little bit the last couple of years. Recruiting, they bring in Robichaux, kind of in the more AJ Dillon mode. Not as good as Dillon, but still that type of body. So that's what they hope to do. They, you know, attack your strength, and BC hopes that they can control that to an extent.
How will the cold weather play a factor? Knowing that a lot of our guys at Tulsa, a lot of our guys are from South Florida. I don't think they've experienced the cold like they're going to experience on Friday. Will that be to BC's advantage?
It's under 49 degrees. We're screwed. Are you kidding me? The only thing going for us on Friday is it's not a red bandana game.
I was there in 2018, by the way, guys. And I can tell you.
Going for us right now.
Yes, and I was there in 2018.
50. Yeah, it's going to be under 50. We don't do – I mean, the stats tell you we have an awful record once the temperature drops below there. I mean, thankfully, it won't be snowing. It won't be freezing. It'll be noon, so it'll be the warmest part of the day. But, I mean, listen, man, it's we always have issues going to Chestnut Hill, just always. It's especially late in the season. It's just not – it's not good for us.
Well, and we saw that. You mentioned 2018. We saw that 5 years ago when the U was, you know, 25th in the country and BC knocked them off. So, yes, you want to talk about check boxes for BC? That's a checkbox. Is it a huge factor? I don't think necessarily. You guys, it's from a mental standpoint, I'm sure it might – affect Miami, especially if they're down early. I think that's always what BC coaching staffs have preached, get them down and see, make them chase. BC's not a good comeback team. They're not built to come back. So that's an issue. If BC goes down early, it could be a long day. But yes, the weather could definitely play a role. It's 45 degrees and sunny. Now, tomorrow is going to be brutal here. It's going to be rainy and cold and windy. Thursday and Friday are supposed to be okay.
Yeah. Another thing I look at also, I want to get, okay, gentlemen, I want to take keys to the game for BC, keys to the game for Miami. We'll start with keys to the game for Boston College, John.
Well, as I've as well documented, control the line of scrimmage, run the ball, make sure you get Castellanos out of the pocket. He's much more effective on the run. Do not want to have Miami tee off on him, but I know Miami – creates havoc. That's something that they've always done. Tackles for loss and sacks. That Lance Guidry defense, they'll probably prey on that or try to. BC's got to generate some turnovers. And, oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned this, tackle better. They have not tackled well at all, especially against Pittsburgh. Multiple missed tackles. We're talking double digits. I know Miami had issues with that last week too, but that's something they have got to clean up.
Go ahead, Toast. Your keys for a Miami win.
Yeah, so basically, I think this – I'm fascinated by a couple of the matchups. First of all, both the quarterbacks have been having issues with interceptions as of late, so that it needs to be corrected by one of them. But I'm really intrigued by the trenches. Both of these offensive line are, in my opinion, top five in the country. I'm fascinated to see how Miami's defensive front is able to go up against that line, the best one we've seen all year, and whether we can get any pressure with just the four. Or do we need to send more guys? So that's going to be just a I'm fascinated by seeing that matchup. I think Guidry's been a solid DC for us. You know, the one thing about Miami defenses is even when they're really good, there's always a game or two during the season that, you know, they're flat this or that. I'm hoping that was last week. I hope they bounced back. But there is a little bit this worried in me that it's, you know, it's the end of the season. We know we're going to be having guys looking at the NFL right now that are going to be opting out early. So I'm just curious what that mindset's going to be. But, man, that battle of the trenches, our D-line against their offensive line is going to be fun to watch. It really is.
Absolutely, absolutely. Gentlemen, I will let you out on this. Give me predictions for Friday. We'll start with Toast this time. Then we'll go with John.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't want to be a hypocrite. John, they just launched gambling down here in Florida about a month ago. So we've had gambling finally down here. And I'll be honest, I put money on BC plus 8.5. We've lost three in a row. I don't like the trajectory we're going in. Castellanos terrifies me with his legs. That's been our Achilles heel for 10 years, is a running quarterback turning a 3rd-and-7 into a first down all game long. So that's kind of where I am. I have BC winning this game. I think it's close. I'm going to go with, like, I'll go 28-24.
Okay, John.
All right. I appreciate the question, Dave. I can't touch that.
I know, because you're caught in the game, but you mentioned keys to the game. So I know you can't mention, yeah,
I can't do that. I can't touch it, but I will say that I agree with Greg that it will be a close game. I think, you know, both sides are pretty evenly matched. Clearly, athleticism goes to Miami. It always does, really. Miami has that athleticism element against any opponent. I will say this, guys. I said it to a couple people today, and I've watched a few of the Miami games just in preparation and doing all the research and the notes and the stats that guys like us do, that play-by-play guys do. I'm stunned that you're at 6-5. I it's hard for me to conceptualize. Yeah. I see a nine and two team, at worst 8-3. And I know you guys deal with this every week because you live it on your sleeve and your heart's on your sleeve. And that I will say that it's been amazing to me to see Miami at 6-5.
Yeah, same here. Guys, listen, happy Thanksgiving to both of you, to you and your families. John, and have a good broadcast on Friday. Toast, we'll be in touch. God bless you all. Thanks for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving to you all.
You too.
Thank Danny. You.
John, pleasure meeting you, man. Good job with the call.
Pleasure meeting you both, and happy Thanksgiving. Take care, guys.
Okay. Well, the recording.